Welcome to Awesome Movie Year, the podcast where we take a look back at an awesome year for movies, which is every year. My name is Josh Bell, film critic and writer, and I am joined by my co-host.
I'm Jason Harris, filmmaker, comedian, and today I'm in Technicolor.
Oh, beautiful. Jason is vibrant and it's amazing. So Technicolor was one of the themes, I guess, maybe of our most recent season. We had been talking about the films of 1939, and we're here at the epilogue, as we always do. We take a wrap-up episode to look back at some selections that we could have talked about, some suggestions from you, our listeners, and a general overview, I guess, of how we thought of this year. And the biggest question, I think, as we said at the beginning and probably in multiple episodes, is this the awesomest movie year of all, as many people believe?
Well, I'm not going to put it above 75, but this was a great movie year and deserves its run in the, up to the gold medal stand. I would put it below 75, but it's a great movie year for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's fair. And of course, as always, we're covering kind of a snapshot is what we endeavor to do. And there are plenty of great movies, as we'll be about to mention, from this year that we didn't talk about. So, maybe we can't give it a full assessment yet, but I think it's reasonable to put it up there. And it's also so different from like 75, where it's all about that experimentation and about changes in Hollywood and the beginning of the blockbuster era. And whereas this is really the greatness, I think, is almost entirely due to like classic style Hollywood films.
I mean, you are seeing, experimentation. You are seeing auteurs. You're seeing people take big chances. But I think auteur is a good word because a lot of these films are, have major directors really putting their stamp on them.
Yeah, that is true. And we'll come to that in a moment. So we started our season, as always, with the box office champion. And as we said in that episode, the real box office champion of this year and still really of all time, if you adjust it for inflation, is Gone with the Wind, which we got to later with our Best Picture episode. But we went with The Wizard of Oz, which, depending on box office figures, which are hard to come by for years earlier than the 80s, was number two or somewhere around there at the box office in this year. Some of the other major box office champions in 1939 include Jesse James, Babes in Arms, which I think we mentioned because Judy Garland is also in that, Goodbye Mr. Chips, the Western Dodge City, The Rains Came, and Drums Along the Mohawk. So some of those that I'm not really familiar with.
Goodbye Mr. Chips featured the Best Actor Award performance of the year. And Josh, in our episode here that we just did at the circus, I don't know if you know this, but when Groucho Marx says goodbye to Gibraltar the gorilla, he says, "Goodbye, Mr. Chips."
I think I missed that. But yeah, that was obviously a huge film that I think is mentioned here in multiple other categories of ours that we're going to get to.
Josh, with all the great performers in 1939, the best actor, as we said, went to Robert Donat in Goodbye, Mr. Chips. How about that?
Yeah, that's something I'm sure we'll have to take a look at because that's not a film that I've seen. So in our second episode, we usually take a look at a first feature from a major filmmaker, and that just wasn't really something that there was anything to talk about.
Disagree. For this season. I disagree. What is your anti-Palin Pressburger, stance here, Josh? Those guys are huge major directors.
They are. I think the thing with them is that the film The Spy in Black is the first film that they directed together. It's not the first film that Michael Powell directed. I believe he's the one who'd been directing before this. And they are major filmmakers, but that movie did not seem particularly notable, and they were really the only candidates. So we just broadened it to a film by a major filmmaker in general and talked about John Ford's Stagecoach. I know, Jason, we keep talking about potentially covering Alfred Hitchcock, who, of course, is, to me, like the greatest filmmaker of all time. Jamaica Inn was his movie this year, which is not necessarily one of his best. And Ernst Lubitsch's Ninotchka was another one we mentioned as a possibility there.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how we would have gotten through 1939 without covering John Ford. One of the audience choice categories you suggested, if we didn't do this, was directed by John Ford, who directed three movies this year, Stagecoach, Young Mr. Lincoln, and Drums Along the Mohawk. So one of his banner years.
Yeah, I mean, as we said, Drums Along the Mohawk there. Was one of the biggest movies at the box office. And Young Mr. Lincoln is a a major film still. I feel like we, you know, with your love of holidays, Jason, we missed our chance to do a President's Day special episode on Young Mr. Lincoln this season.
Oh my God. Would have paired perfectly with Mr. Smith Goes to Washington there, Josh. Yeah. But again, the big deal with Stagecoach was not just that it's a film by Mr. Ford, but that it brought John Wayne out in the forefront. And of course, our guy Thomas Mitchell winning Best Supporting Actor.
Yes, Thomas Mitchell, who appeared in four of the movies that we've talked about in this season thus far, and maybe we'll be getting to talk about him again.
Oh, so, we're doing it. Where he got he went for the Pentaveret. We're gonna go for all five.
Ah, Pentaveret. That's a good word there.
Thank you, Josh. We had a flop, The Ice Follies of 1939. Deserved flop. It got threes across the board, and the Russian judge gave it a two. Josh, tell me about these other movies, Made for Each Other and Slightly Honorable.
Those are other flops that I really wasn't familiar with any of the flops from this year. It was kind of tough to find because sometimes you have these movies that are notorious, like giant failures that we've talked about, like Heaven's Gate or Ishtar. But, you know, sometimes they just kind of get forgotten. And I thought The Ice Follies was an interesting one because of its whole association with The Ice Follies and the real life thing that they were trying to bring to the screen. Made for Each Other, also featuring Jimmy Stewart, who starred in The Ice Follies, the romantic comedy, and Slightly Honorable is a mystery. Not a mystery what it is. The film is a mystery. But I have not seen them. I'm not familiar with them. And that's all I got on that.
The best thing about Ice Follies is that we at least covered other films with Jimmy Stewart and Joan Crawford this year. Yes. So we were able to showcase them a little differently. The Jimmy Stewart film, of course, Mr. Smith Goes to Washington, the Cannes Film Festival winner, awarded in 2019 because in 1939, of the many things Hitler ruined, Cannes was one of them.
Yes, indeed. So I was trying to find that 2019 version where they showed all 30 films that were meant to be shown at Cannes in 1939, and I couldn't find that full list. The site for it is all in French, and I couldn't quite parse the schedule to figure out which were those movies and which were other movies being shown. But I did look. The other thing that happened was at the official Cannes Film Festival in 2002, they convened a jury and watched only seven of the films from that 1939 festival and awarded a winner then. And that winner was Union Pacific, which is a Cecil B. DeMille Western starring Barbara Stanwyck. So the other movies that they watched in 2002, which is not the full program, but for whatever reason, these were the ones they chose, were Goodbye, Mr. Chips, of course. A French film called La Piste du Nord, a Soviet biopic, Lenin in 1918, the British film, The Four Feathers, The Wizard of Oz, and a Dutch children's film called Bufje or Bufje. I don't know.
Bufje, ja. Good one, Josh.
So
I don't even know what accent that is.
I don't either, but I like it. So I'm not sure what, again, the full version in 2019 included every film, including documentaries and other things that were meant to be shown in 39, but I wasn't able to get that full list.
Josh, we kind of reconfigured this season because, you know, we kind of put in categories that really fit more of the time that didn't necessarily fit with what we usually do. So instead of documentary, we went with animation, Gulliver's Travels. None of us loved it, but we are going to keep animation going forward.
Yeah, we are. I think that's something that we've talked about a bunch of times in the past and haven't gone forward with. But I think it's there's a lot to talk about there as we looked at with Gulliver's Travels and the Fleischer Brothers. It's not all just Disney. When we were thinking about doing a documentary, I did come up with a couple options. There's a film called The Lion Has Wings. That's a British World War II propaganda film that's fairly notable. And an American documentary called The City, which is a short film. It's like 43 minutes, but is a landmark of documenting like urban progress, but neither of those seem like they would be worth a whole episode for us.
Speaking of things that weren't worth the whole episode, tell us about your pick, Josh.
So Jason hated my pick, The Women, which is one of my favorite movies really of all time. And my definitely still number one movie of 1939 and an acknowledged classic. But some other things I did consider were Ninotchka, the Ernst Lubitsch film, which I happened to watch for another reason, for an article that I was writing as we were going through this season, and I quite liked even more. It's very entertaining with Greta Garbo and Melvin Douglas, a great romance. Dark Victory with Bette Davis, which is kind of a little overheated melodrama, and the very fun comedy Fifth Avenue Girl with Ginger Rogers. Those were a couple others I considered, but I love The Women and I'm glad I picked it, even though Jason.
It wasn't just me. Dave hated it. Gina hated it. Everyone but you hated it, Josh.
Everyone, you know, but me and all of the people who have made it beloved for 85 years.
Gina's like the fourth Marx Brothers of this podcast.
She's Zeppo.
Yeah.
Josh, we did much better in the foreign film category than in the Josh's pick category this season. We went with Rules of the Game, which, you know, Renoir, go watch all the movies by this guy. And I still think this holds up as one of the all-time greatest films. But we had two other picks that would have been just as worthy, Josh. Daybreak and the story of the Last Chrysanthemums.
Yeah, Daybreak is another French film by Marcel Carnet and was also on the very first Sight and Sound top 10 list in 1952. And the story of the Last Chrysanthemums is Kenji Mizoguchi, who's a major Japanese filmmaker. So you're right. Absolutely. Both of those would have been worth talking about.
But watch The Rules of the Game. That's my favorite movie from this season, I'd say.
All right. Your favorite movie is not the one that you picked? Only that, Angels Have Wings?
That would be my second favorite pick. And I picked that one somewhat blind. I wanted to do Howard Hawks. I wanted to have a little Cary Grant in there. I figured let's throw in a little Sight and Sound list pick. Only Angels Have Wings, probably the discovery of the season for me. I really love this movie.
I liked it too. I was glad that you picked it. It's certainly one that I was aware of and was interested in seeing. And so I was glad to get an opportunity to see it and glad that we could agree on the quality of that film after our contention over my pick.
Calling Barranca, Thomas Mitchell movie number two of this year.
Yeah, Thomas Mitchell.
No, it's number three because of Mr. Smith Goes to Washington.
Right. We can't forget him in Mr. Smith Goes to Washington as the reporter. He's very good in that as well.
To reiterate one last thing about Only Angels Have Wings. We yes. talked about those flying sequences that are to this day look amazing.
They do. They really do. I mean, and that's, I think, a big thing in that movie is the story is engaging. The performances are really good, but the stunts are just astonishing to look at. It's really fantastic. So in our next episode, we often or usually will find a film festival winner outside of Cannes. It's usually Sundance in years that Sundance exists. We've talked about the Venice Film Festival and the Berlin Film Festival, but at this period of time, there really wasn't any of that. So we went to an alternate award winner, which was the New York Film Critics Circle Best Film winner, Wuthering Heights. I also had looked at the National Board of Review, which is another awards-giving body and was really the only other one around at that time. And their top 10, they had Confessions of a Nazi Spy as the number one American film of this year, which I'm not really familiar with. And their top 10 included some other films that we've mentioned here, Young Mr. Lincoln, Wuthering Heights, Goodbye Mr. Chips, as well as Crisis and The Roaring Twenties and U-Boat 29, which I'm not familiar with.
Maybe U-Boat 29 and Confessions of a Nazi Spy go hand in hand.
They might. So in terms of Wuthering Heights, I want to give a shout out to Letterboxd user You're a Blur, who tagged their review of Wuthering Heights with Awesome Movie Year. We really appreciate if you review one of our films that we talk about on Letterboxd, tag it Awesome Movie Year, and we'd love to hear what you have to say about any of the films we talk about. I figured I'd give You're a Blur a shout out. They said, I've never seen a drama that I felt more attached to. So a big fan of Wuthering Heights, and that's good to hear.
And of all the iterations that you and I both watched after this, I think this is the best one.
Yeah, I watched the MTV version from 2003. Definitely not as good as this one.
I mean, but look at what we're doing here. We got Olivier, you know, we got Cary Grant, we got Jimmy Stewart, you know, we have so many of these major actresses, Jean Arthur, Joan Crawford, that we've talked about. This is real, real showcase year for performers.
Yeah, I mean, and I think that is one of the things about it being this great movie year is that so many of these iconic stars gave some of their best performances during this year.
Speaking of iconic, the best picture, Josh, was a film called Gone with the Wind, which, as you said, is the all-time box office champ. And to me, well, this was my first time watching it. And I reiterate again, this is the strangest film I think I've ever seen because it's so amazing and so beloved, yet talks about such a horrible, horrible time in American history with such whimsy.
Yeah, a lot of contradictions. Yeah, definitely. We talked about a bunch of the Best Picture nominees, really. Love Affair, Mr. Smith Goes to Washington, Stagecoach, The Wizard of Oz, and Wuthering Heights, all of which we talked about. All of those were nominated for Best Picture, along with Dark Victory, Goodbye, Mr. Chips, Ninotchka, and Of Mice and Men.
Yeah, Josh, we also forgot here that we had a special Valentine's Day episode, which you just mentioned with Love Affair.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't really have any other, you know, options there, but because that holiday, because we missed President's Day, we decided to do a Valentine's Day episode and cover Love Affair.
But it holds up as a romance, even though some of the logic to me is a bit wonky. I thought those two leads were wonderful.
Yeah, oh, I agree. Absolutely. It was definitely an enjoyable film. Dave, what did you inflict upon us, and what might you have inflicted upon us in your pick?
Yeah, I picked the other Best Picture nominee, the Gorilla, which, as I said during the episode, I didn't even know this was some, you know, comedy trio thing. Like, I really just didn't know what to expect with it. The only other movies that I was even considering were what we ended up doing an audience choice on, Iconic Comedians, you know, some of those exact picks that we put up to the audience. So I'm glad I went with the Gorilla. And shockingly, I loved that movie. I know you guys didn't, but it's so good. It's so funny.
If you had to make me watch The Gorilla or The Women again, I would choose The Gorilla 10 times out of 10.
Yeah.
Well, it is a lot shorter.
I mean, you know, I didn't say there weren't reasons for it, Josh. But
yeah, Dave has going to mount his campaign to get the Ritz Brothers alongside Laurel and Hardy and W.C. Fields and the Marx Brothers in those iconic comedy positions.
I mean, there's no better way to do that than with Dave's spinoff podcast, Putting on the Ritz, which comes on right after Field of Birds.
Yes.
Josh, cult classic, a lot of good picks. And I think we picked the right one here. As Dave said, we were thinking about the Gorilla for this. But Son of Frankenstein, you know, this is kind of the return of the monster movie after a few years off. So that was the right pick. You also had listed the Return of Dr. X and the Phantom Creeps.
Yeah, The Return of Dr. X, a sci-fi horror movie starring Humphrey Bogart as Dr. X in a very different kind of role than we usually think of him. And we talked about Bela Lugosi multiple times in Son of Frankenstein as well as in The Gorilla. And The Phantom Creeps is a Bela Lugosi serial, actually, where he stars as a mad scientist. But it was also, I think, in the 50s, edited down into a feature-length version, which is probably what we would have watched. But it seems like that was not quite, you know, capturing the time. So I agree. Son of Frankenstein was the right choice there.
And Lugosi, probably his most revered performance is in Son of Frankenstein.
Yeah, excellent. Although I'm sure he's good in The Phantom Creeps. I mean, come on, how could he not be?
Mm-hmm.
Heroin?
Well, yeah, but during this period, I feel like playing the mad scientist star of something called The Phantom Creeps is really
perfect for him.
Plays to his strengths.
Mm. Josh, audience choice we've alluded to already. We had the Iconic Comedies, the Marx Brothers destroying W.C. Fields, You Can't Cheat an Honest Man, and Laurel and Hardy, The Flying Deuces. We mentioned the John Ford pick, obviously Western classics, Stagecoach could have been in there, Destry Rides Again in Dodge City. And then you had a cute one here, Josh, franchises that added sons. Son of Frankenstein, Tarzan Finds a Son. That's weird that you're finding a son, and another Thin Man.
Yes, the Thin Man sequel in which the main characters, Nick and Nora, they have a child. So I'm guessing that as cute as that, as you said, that was, and as an amusing category, probably would have not been a great driver of audience interest. So, and we got to talk about Son of Frankenstein anyway. So,
which is good.
Yeah.
I still like it better than the first Frankenstein.
I'm not quite with you there, but it is good. And I think underrated, you know, as befitting its sort of cult status. So as always, we asked on social media for your suggestions of what films from 1939 that you like. And, you know, with a year older, we usually don't get as many suggestions, but we did get quite a few. Our friend Joe Black was one of several people who suggested The Hunchback of Notre Dame. Mike Marchese also suggested that one. Matt Stillman suggested The Roaring Twenties, which came up in another category. And more notably, Matt Stillman said, F Gone with the Wind. Mm. So sorry, Matt, that we covered that after all.
I think it's fair, and Joe Black will get his way, because we'll get to The Hunchback of Notre Dame, because Thomas Mitchell deserves it.
He does indeed. D.W. Lundberg of the Nostalgia Cast podcast suggested The Adventures of Sherlock Holmes and Daybreak, the Marcel Carné film, as well as The Hunchback of Notre Dame. My sister, Brandy Bell, mentioned another thin man. As we said, the son one, she says they have a baby, but they keep drinking. So
Nick and Nora, enjoyable. Baby, drinks, infinite playlists. Those are their things.
And my dad also weighed in on this one. Roger Bell, thank you. Suggested Goodbye, Mr. Chips, Drums Along the Mohawk, and Nanotchka. So
it's amazing we could broker a peace between you and your father. All it took was this podcast.
Thank you. Kyle Chang suggested Becky Sharp, which is, I have seen that as a adaptation of Vanity Fair. Also mentioned Dark Victory, the Betty Davis film. And Ken Miller, in addition to The Old Hunchback of Notre Dame, suggested The Cat and the Canary, which is, I believe, one of these kind of dark thrillers. So thank you to everyone who suggested those. And as we said, Hunchback was the number one suggestion. Plus, we want to get our boy Thomas Mitchell some more credit. So we are going to do a special bonus episode on The Hunchback of Notre Dame if you are subscribed to our Patreon, or rather, the By David Rosen Patreon. Dave, do you want to tell everyone about that?
Dave bilks us like that guy who ran the circus, Carter.
I'm just like one of the villains in any of these comedy trio groups. I on the Produced by David Rosen Patreon, where I post bonus and advanced content for piecing it together and my music career, there are also bonus episodes of Awesome Movie Year, and that will be our new bonus Awesome Movie Year episode. You can check it out at patreon.com/bydavidrosen.
But yeah, there's more with Dave. I don't know what you were going to say, but we're letting Dave pick our entire next season here, at least the year we all decided what we're going to do. But we usually plug the next season here. Should we give Dave this plug, Josh?
Yeah, Dave, what year did you pick for us to talk about?
Yeah, well, first of all, I'm just super excited that you guys let me do stuff on this podcast. That's so fun.
Dave picked 12 episodes on The Gorilla.
Yeah, hell yeah.
The putting on the Ritz is the whole season.
Yeah, let's do it. No, I picked the year 2000, which I thought would be an interesting thing. We obviously did 99 already, which is, you know, as far as recent years, people consider like the best ever. And I figured something kind of close to there, but not it. And I thought it would be a fun one to get into.
Something close to the best, but not nearly as good as what
you got to look around the edges sometimes for like real good stuff. You know,
it's all I think good.
We have a lot of good stuff planned for that season. And that, I believe, is the first season that we're going to do that's actually just right a year adjacent to one that we've already done. Mm. So zooming ahead 61 years to 2000 will be our next season. And what I was going to say, Jason, is just that we don't plug the Patreon enough, because we always have, we've got bonus content there every season, and people should check it out and support that. And, you know, Dave's career is an evil circus impresario.
Yeah, Jason.
I mean, Dave's got a lot going with the music and everything, and the puppies doing the music and
that's right,
all this other stuff. Hey, Josh, we got to talk about something, some sad news as of yesterday. One of our former guests and one of my favorite college professors, Francisco Menendez, died. He was a great guest. He guested when we did The Trip because he made a movie for Roger Corman called Stealing Las Vegas. And I told Dave, I didn't know that he kind of knew Menendez before that, but I told Dave, I remember because I had taken classes with him. And Dave edits these podcasts. I said, Dave, get ready. This is going to be a good luck to you, because once you get Menendez rolling, he will just keep rolling. He is a runaway train of energy and emotion and buoyancy who loved films. And I always loved catching up with him. And I got to tell you, the classes I took in college with him were on one was a dual class on Steven Spielberg and Martin Scorsese, and the other was on Spike Lee and Steven Soderbergh. So all of those classes still obviously resonate with a lot of what we're doing. And he was a great professor, and I really loved talking about movies and taking classes with him.
Yeah, I never took classes with him, but I saw him at film festivals and local film premieres, and he was a huge supporter of local film, not only his movie, Stealing Las Vegas, like you said, that he made, produced by Roger Corman, and a lot of local people worked on, but filmmakers who came out of UNLV, he was always supportive and making sure that they got a chance to get their films out there to audiences. So check out our episode on The Trip. Is from our 1967 season, to hear some great insight from Francisco Menendez, and sad that he's no longer with us.
Yeah, I mean, this is all just coming out today, but what I had heard is he taught a class, and then afterwards, he went into cardiac arrest and, you know, didn't make it. But I feel like Menendez, in a way, would be pleased if that's how he was going to go out, that he was able to teach that one last class.
Yeah, he was doing what he loved right until the end. And I think that's all that any of us can really hope for. So, you know, rest in peace,
Francisco Menendez. And we are dedicating all of 1939 to you, sir.
Yes. So that is this episode of Awesome Movie Year and this season of Awesome Movie Year. Check us out. Give us more of all those suggestions we love on social media and online.
We do love it. And it adds to the season. You know, we also, a lot of the way we plan the season is based on what you guys want and the feedback you give us. And man, when we get to uncover some gems that we didn't even consider because of you, that's really a win for us. So we're at Awesome Movie Year on Facebook and Instagram, Awesome Movie Pod on and also we are awesomemovieyear.com. I'm Jason Harris Comedy or J Harris Comedy on all the socials. Go for Jason on Letterboxd.
You can find some old stuff for me at joshbellhateseverything.com. I am at joshbellhateseverything on Facebook, at SignalBleed on the service Jason does not wish to name, Twitter or X, at SignalBleed on Blue Sky and Letterboxd as well. And again, if you review any movie that we've talked about here, tag us Awesome Movie Year. We'd love to hear from you and maybe talk about what you have to say in a future episode of ours. And check out our producer, David Rosen's awesome podcast, Piecing It Together.
Check out Piecing It Together wherever you listen to podcasts. Follow us on social media at Piecing Pod and join our Facebook group, Popcorn and Puzzle Pieces, where we continue the conversation about all the movies we talk about on both of these podcasts.
And Josh, do you know where we'll see or hear our listeners next or talk to them next?
Please let us know.
In the year 2000.
Dave, do you want to tell us what is in our next episode?
We are kicking it off with box office champ Mission Impossible 2.
So Dave's Choice season on the way. Tune in next time for Mission Impossible 2. And thanks for listening to Awesome Movie Year.
Thank you for listening to Awesome Movie Year. Make sure to follow Awesome Movie Year on Facebook, at Awesome Movie Pod on Twitter, and at Awesome Movie Year on Instagram. And if you like the show, review us and rate us with 5 stars on Apple Podcasts.
An All Points West production, produced by David Rosen in Las Vegas.